Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's Thursday night, glad to have you with us. And I have finally succeeded in my plot to take over the world and the radio show. Rick Hale is off tonight. Joining me instead is Cheryl Knight. Hey Cheryl.
Hi Karen.
So I finally got rid of that Rick Hale.
You finally did it. Well, unfortunately
for
you.
And actually, we miss Rick when he's not around.
No, actually, yeah, definitely we miss Rick.
Definitely. That's right. So, sorry about the technical difficulties, everybody. We just, you know, it's what Rick is right. We are the destination truth of paranormal radio.
I think that's true. I would agree.
So, Cheryl, we have an interesting show tonight. First, we're going to be talking to my really good friend, William Becker, who is actually a satellite team member of South Sound Paranormal Research, which is my team. And he is also a psychic medium. He has his own radio show called Paranormal Insights over on the Sepia Radio Network. I believe it's sepia.com, but I'm not sure, S-E-P-I-A. And he's also just an all-around great guy, teaches classes about finding your psychic voice and things. And so I'm really looking forward to talking to William, even though I talk to him several times every day via text or telephone. It's awesome to have him on the show.
It is. And if any of our listeners were with us back in October of 2011, we talked to William. And you weren't here that night, Karen, which I know you're really bummed about, but it was if you go to Podbean and you search for Paranormal Underground, search for the October 13th, 2011 show. It was a really good show, and I'm excited to talk to him again tonight.
I know, and so in our second hour, we are going to, okay, I'm feeling brave, Cheryl, I think I'm going to attempt it.
Do it.
I think so. Okay, I'm going to see if I can stick the landing. The second hour, we're going to be talking to the author of The Ghost Way, which is a true story, and the author's name is, are you ready for this? Kyung, oh no.
Do it.
Ramanakaja.
It's probably not even close.
Kyung Ramanakaja Smith, and I have no idea if I said that right, so we'll make her say it.
Yes.
But she tells a story about her family's experiences in southern Thailand when she was a child, with some really kind of freaky entities, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we might also, I'm not positive, but have her co-writer Lance with us, but we'll definitely have Kyung with us, so that should be interesting.
And how do you pronounce Lance's last name?
Smith.
Ugh. See, you took the easy one, I took the hard one, and who knows whether I stuck the landing or not,
we'll
right?
We'll find out, yeah.
So, real quickly, because you were saying something back before we had all our technical difficulties, and we have a few minutes before we have to call William.
Right.
So, you were telling me about a survey that you read that I think is just nuts.
It just blew my mind, and I wish I could remember the company that took the survey, but I was watching CNN earlier, and it was just caught my eye very quickly, so I didn't catch all the details. But basically, 1 in 7 of the people who were polled in this survey think the world will end in their lifetime. But what really freaked me out was that 10% of those polled believed that it would end in 2012.
So, not 10% of the people who believe that it'll end in their lifetime, but 10% of the people, period.
See, that's what I thought, that's what I took it to mean, although it could mean what you're saying, is that just 10% of those 1 in 7, but I thought it said 10% overall, but who knows? I really didn't get enough details, but it still was interesting.
Well, I don't believe that the world is going to end in my lifetime, and if it does, I plan on standing right where the precipitating event that ends it is.
Underneath,
waiting. If it's bomb, I'm waiting for the bomb, you know.
Underneath the asteroid, whatever.
Yeah, because my husband, Techie McScience Geek, is a huge survival nut. And, you know, so he's got, like, our secret room is full of water and provisions and his, you know, and he's got his guns and ammo.
But you're not going to use it.
Well, he's going to use it on himself, but I'm planning on dying.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's going to end anytime soon, but who knows? I just wonder.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with a guy who seems to be kind of hooked in spiritually, I guess you would say. And he says, no, it's not going to end in 2012.
But what kind of thought process do you go through if you actually do think it's ending within, 6 months? How do you live? What do you do?
What happens? Oh, if I thought the world was going to end in the next 6 months, I think that I would probably get rid of my ban on bacon.
Good one.
Really? Yeah. Seriously. I think that that's really a very important one. And I'm pretty sure that pot would be welcome in my home. I do all sorts of other fun stuff too, but
I wonder if any of these people answering this poll were pulling the poller's legs. That's what I wonder, if
how accurate
it really is, but
I don't know. Okay, so we need to go to break so that we can call William, right?
Yes.
So let's do this. We're going to take a fairly quick break because we got such a late start. And we'll be back with William Becker in just a few minutes. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Stick around.
Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of ParanormalLeagueOfAmerica.org.
In her riveting novel, Break in the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N. Publishing.ca.
Only 6 o'clock in the morning and my heartbeat is out of control. 10 minutes into boarding feels like I'm about to explode. Time for the ride up, tension started to swirl. I can't believe I'm gonna free fall from the top of the world. Senses peaked with a crazy anticipation, feeling like this. Tell me how the hell can I be patient? Jumpsuit rig, Google helmet, all in place. Double checking just in case. I'm elated, baby, freedom, one green light away, and I just can't wait. Spread my wings, time to fly. One step out, all it takes for me to touch the sky. So amazing, so liberating. 12,000 feet, AGL, so breathtaking. Belly down, box me now. 4 minutes of pleasure without any spark of distraction around. State of mind, euphoria, wish could last forever. From this day on, nothing can stop us from getting back together.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk.
Opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back after our shortest, I think, commercial break possibly ever. What would you say, Cheryl? Shortest ever?
Shortest ever.
Shortest ever. Yep. So, hey, see, we can be flexible on this show after we have all sorts of technical disasters befall us at the beginning. But hey, we're with you now, right? And we are joined by our first guest tonight. It is my good friend and also team member. He's a satellite member of South Sound Paranormal Research. He teaches classes to people who are trying to develop their psychic abilities, and he's just an all-around good guy. It's William Becker. Hey, William.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm blushing.
Was it the all-around good guy? Did I overplay my hand?
Yeah, no, it was lovely. I liked it. Yeah, I blush. red's a good color on me, though, so that's okay.
Oh, very good. So, William, yeah. I know that you have a new venture only because I talked to you on the phone the last 2 days to record for your new venture. So why don't you talk about that?
I have got my own radio program starting. It's on Sepia Radio Network. Paranormal Insights Radio is the name of my show. Now, my slot is from 7 to 8 Pacific time, 10 to 11 Eastern time on Fridays. We've had a little bit of a hiatus. The producer I'm working with has been in the hospital for a good week, and they are going to be continuing the show. Everything's going to be up and running, but my show wasn't on last weekend, and I'm not expecting it quite yet this weekend. So the show we recorded may be a week and a half down the road. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten all the answers yet. I know one of the guys with the network is off traveling, promoting it to, I think he's in Europe right now promoting it. So it's a go. It's just going to be a little bit later. It's, you know, part of the fun of startup web radio is you don't have a lot of people doing everything, and so when one person's out, you're kind of out.
Yeah, we wind up that way a little bit around here too. It's actually, if Cheryl and Chad can't do it, nobody's doing it because they run our technical stuff. So yeah, I hear right. you on that, and congratulations on the show. You also had your first guest was our good friend Ellen Almendinger, who came on, and then I think, was I your second guest, is that right?
Actually, my first guest was Adrian from England, who's got some really fantastic photographs out there. And so we discussed those. And that was the show with, so far, the most technical, the interesting challenges, put it that way. and then Ellen was second, and you were my third guest.
I was lucky number three. Got it.
It is a lucky number. And I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
And, oh, and that article. I need to get that article up on my website, yes.
That's right. He's promoting the old quantum physics and the paranormal. Remember that, Cheryl?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we talked about it on his show a little bit. So I sent William the article, and I actually went back and reread it. It was an article I wrote for, like, the July 2008 issue of Paranormal Underground magazine, I think. It's still online. You could find it in the archives. And I went back and reread it, and I texted William, and I said, well, I don't even understand what I said, so good luck. But he seemed to like it anyway, so there you go.
I do understand this stuff. I like it. It fascinates me. It's a very well-written article. It's intelligent and not speaking down to people, but at the same time not making it more difficult than it has to be. And so I'm nudging Karen to maybe talk about this at the Urban Ghosts Conference in March next year.
Oh, is that my next? Yeah, that was the other thing. Is William is also one of the organizers of the Oregon Ghost Conference, and you also lead tours, paranormal tours in Oregon City. I forgot to add those to your resume.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, and I also do strategic planning and write grants and 501c3s and, you know, a little of this and a little of that. Whatever one can do to try to keep one's head above water. But the ghost tours are fun, and we're setting up new tours this year as well. We're going to have history tours. A lot of movies have been filmed in Oregon City.
Yeah.
Oh, Grimm has been in there. They filmed at least two episodes there.
They were there the weekend of the Oregon Ghost Conference they were filming.
Exactly. And they were there before that. This last couple of days, Rocky, who owns the Northwest Ghost Tours, was telling me there's another company. I think it's Leverage. There's another program that takes place that's filmed in Portland that's with filming in there again. And so we're going to be working on those tours. And we've got quite a lot of public art and murals out, too, that I think he's working on a tour for that, too. So,
oh, great. It's a neat city.
Yeah, it's fun. And especially if you can focus on the history. And talk about haunted. I mean, my God.
It is. You're right. It actually, the weekend I spent there for the ghost conference was actually a little difficult for me because it was hard to go anywhere where it wasn't haunted, and I need that. So, yeah. So, William, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and I hope that you'll still speak to me afterwards. But you
Especially if you cook for me.
Okay, well, I will. You do remote readings. And Cheryl has had some activity in her place. And I don't think she's ever had it read, Cheryl.
You're breaking up a little bit for me, but were you talking about the activity in my house?
Yeah.
Oh, we're losing Karen.
Hello?
Oh, Karen.
You can't hear me.
Okay, wait. I hear you now.
Okay, so I was talking about the activity in your place and asking if maybe William could do a little reading on that. Are you good with that?
I'm good with that. Do I need to say anything about what I think, or no? Just hold off.
You can hold off for right now, and I may need a little direction or something.
Okay.
I keep getting the picture of red hair on a boy, maybe a man, but a male. Mm-hmm. And it could be the same guy, different ages. And I get the feeling of a kid somewhat mischievous and somewhat with a mean streak.
Hmm.
I think it's this boy with red hair. He's 12, somewhere 10, 12, 9. There's an adult in the background. And this isn't the one I was first thinking about, but I'm getting an African-American male in the background. I'm not sure what that's about. Hmm. Is your house older?
Well, I'm currently living in an apartment, and it probably isn't that old. I mean, if it's 30 years old, I'd be surprised. It could be, but I don't know for sure.
Was there something there before that?
I believe there was. The reason why I say that is because it looks like these apartments were something else before, because there's a sprinkler system in it like you would see in a hotel. So I don't know what it was before. But maybe it's been around a lot longer than I know. But yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting to know more of the history of the property.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the sense of anything nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen will tell you, I don't know that there is any such thing as demonic. I have yet to come across anything that I would call pure evil. I have yet to come across anything I would call pure good. You know, I keep a semi-open mind about these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get anything horrible there. It's more mischievous with something kind of dark behind it. There's a person who wasn't understood well, was somewhat abused, and acts out because of that, is what I get. And I think that's the kid with red hair.
Okay.
So what do you think, Cheryl?
I think that's interesting. I wish I knew some of the history behind that. Can you give me just a quick sec? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so I like it when you do the remote readings, and actually I think you've done it with my house.
Right.
So while we're waiting for Cheryl, just a sec.
I'm sorry about that. Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
Go ahead. We'll do the question in a minute.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I wish I knew more of the history. I don't know. I thought it was odd that there's sprinklers coming down from every room, from the ceiling. So I thought maybe I don't know if it could have been some type of, you know, maybe it used to be an inn, or I don't really know.
School,
I have,
hotel.
Yeah, something.
Something like that, or a, yeah,
exactly.
Or a hospital or something even, maybe. School definitely could be. I'm not sure where you're located, Cheryl.
Do you want me to tell you?
Are you in California?
Yeah, I'm in California.
You're in the Bay Area, aren't you?
I'm not. I'm actually in Southern California. I live in Fullerton, which is
okay.
Not too far from L.A., about a half hour, just drive south.
Okay. And I knew just from conversations that you were down there someplace. I wasn't sure exactly where, so that wasn't being psychic.
Yeah. Right.
There's so much history and such down there. It'd be interesting to know the history of that land a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It could be that this was somebody that lived in the apartment at one point, too.
Right.
It, you know, is.
Well,
especially if they're around that old.
I have found it funny that a lot of people move out of this apartment complex. It's rather small. I don't even know if there's 12. I think there may be 12 apartment units here. And since we moved in here almost, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, there's been people in and out constantly. I thought, does that like, and then after we had some type of activity, I thought, does maybe there's something going on, or maybe it's just a high, you know, a lot of movement, whatever. I didn't know, but
right.
I don't know if you want me to tell you some of the things that happened. And
yeah, I was going to ask about that. I kind of get a sense of movement of maybe doors opening and closing, maybe things moving around a little bit.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that. We do hear what sounds like doors opening and closing, but we can never catch it.
Okay.
So we don't, we think they are, but we can't verify that with our eyes. I have seen something move, but I'm very skeptical of it because it's not a stationary object. One night I saw my chair, it's an executive leather desk chair, which has rotation, but it spun around 180 degrees. And
it needs something to make that happen, though, and if you weren't having an earthquake.
Trust me, I recreated all different types of activities to try and make it move in that same movement, and I couldn't get it to go maybe more than an inch, maybe two max of movement in my different testings. It was odd, and immediately I thought, somebody's moving that chair. It was very strange.
Yeah.
I have had some type of what feels like physical contact, mainly like if I'm sitting here working, I'll feel like somebody has tapped me on the shoulder. And this even occurs when I'm alone, so nobody else is here.
Right,
so,
they want to know what you're doing. They're interested. They're curious.
Yeah. Did we lose Karen? Let me try and get her back on here. While I try and add Karen, I've heard, and I don't know if they can be explained, but I've heard voices in my ear or behind me within close proximity.
Okay, so these aren't, you know, voices from neighbors through the walls or the floor or the ceiling.
I cannot completely overrule that, but literally, sometimes they sound like they're in my ear. Like, they're audible, and they're real close. And so sometimes I thought maybe someone's, you know, playing a joke on me, and I'll look around the corner, but there's nobody there. And
is
I'll be like,
a woman's voice?
Sometimes it's both. And what freaked me out one time, it's I've heard a woman and a man.
That's what I was getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard, freaked you out sometimes.
What happened is one time I was in a room by myself, and I was trying to sleep, and I thought I heard Chad, who's my boyfriend, who was in the other room, talking to me like he had come in the room and started talking. And when I answered him, thinking he was standing right there, I turned around, nobody was there. And then I realized, wait, the door's closed. He didn't open it to come in. Kind of freaked me out, and it was his voice. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
So I went to check with him, and it was not him. And you know, he wouldn't make that up, so... Karen, are you there?
Do you remember what the voice said?
Honestly, I know I should have written it down, but I don't. I don't remember what it said.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would say there's something going on there, and I think I can say nothing nasty. And I think good. I get a sense that it's attached to the location.
Okay.
In general, kind of. Now, has this been going on ever since you moved in? Or just recently?
Yeah, I want to say it started pretty quickly. The other thing is that it's not been the first location that I've had activity in.
Okay.
So there's been other houses that I've had activity in. And I don't know how that relates, if at all.
Well, sometimes if they sense there's somebody that can experience them, they're a little bit more active just because they know there's somebody they can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And they get lonely sometimes, too. Sometimes it's just coincidence. You know, it's hard to say for sure.
Well, there was one incident that probably was a little more freaky than the rest, even the voice that sounded like Chad. But it was, I awoke one night in the middle of the night, so, you know, from a pretty good sleep. And I thought I saw standing in front of me, you know, across from the bed, was it looked like a shadow person, like a full-figured man, male shadow person. And I was like, whoa. And I kind of like blinked my eyes and I looked back and there was nothing there. So I didn't know if that was a sleep-induced type of scenario or if I actually saw what I thought I saw. But,
Well, were you thinking about paranormal or ghosts or anything at the time when you were waking up or when you were asleep?
I don't remember. I really don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, and I'm just asking if you because if you weren't being susceptible to that already in the state you were in, I would pretty well guess it was an apparition you were seeing. It's hard to swear to that not having been there.
Right,
but
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think they wander around the building a bit.
You mean like from apartment to apartment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they just stay in your place. I mean, I get the sense of them there. But there are too many.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they move. I think they move around. It was more of a sense of openness of somehow between human units. I'm not sure what that means. And it's common for entities to, when they're talking audibly, to call out in a voice that is that of someone the person they're trying to reach knows.
Ah, okay.
That's true. I've had that in my house.
Tours. Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
Your house, one of the houses on our tour, the only house that anybody still lives in on one of our tours, the people have heard, you know, the husband hears the wife and the wife hears the husband, but only one of them is home.
Interesting.
Yeah, now see, if Chad hadn't been home, I might have been even more freaked out. But he still claims it wasn't on him, so.
It probably
Well, and it probably wasn't. And you kind of get an idea if the voice is coming from another room, especially if the doors are closed or if it's right by you.
The one time I heard, I was in the kitchen and I heard a voice right behind me. I believe it was a female's voice that said, "Behind you." And I looked around and I thought, who in the heck was that? It's just me and my son home at the time. And I thought he was playing a joke on me, you know, disguising his voice, trying to just mess around with me. So I looked around the corner. He wasn't there. He was in his room playing his, you know, PlayStation. So that one was a little freaky. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And that was, you know, she was warning you while you were doing, and she was doing her thing, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I mean, I've worked in the restaurant business and stuff at times, and when you're in smaller wait stations or different things.
That's what you say, behind you.
Behind the bar. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking, was that that's almost sounds like restaurant employees.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm glad to know you don't feel there's any type of menacing. I mean, mischievous, you know, that's fine. But I don't usually get any. Yeah, I don't get bad feelings. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel uneasy, but not
well, that's
bad.
Your spidey sense going on.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Just, that's right. Somebody. That means somebody's in your space.
Right.
So. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And when you can talk to them a little bit and see who's there, then you. The fearful end of the spidey sense can go away because it's identified.
Right, and then you just know that it means somebody's in your space.
Right.
Right.
So my spidey sense used to freak me out, and now I just realize it's like my, it's kind of like my own personal EMF detector in my body.
So can I ask a question, William?
Right. And if you want to tune to them, you can, and if you want to block them off, you can. Okay.
What happens?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Cheryl.
Oh, no, no. I was just wondering what happens if the spidey sense is... It feels malicious. I used to live in a house that where I would get that sense sometimes, and it was just a horrible feeling of almost doom. And I sometimes it was just almost unbearable. And I don't know what that means. If it's just me being paranoid about something, or if it's there, I could be detecting a malicious, you know, whatever entities or whatnot.
Right. What I would do in that is try to talk to it and find out just who it is and what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it fairly guarded.
Okay.
And if you can't break through to it, I'd put up a big shield so it couldn't get to you. And
you know how to do a shield, Cheryl?
I don't.
William, she doesn't know how to do a shield.
Shielding and grounding and centering and filtering are the first things I teach in my class. And since I'm offering those now on Skype, this is good practice. what you do with a shield is, first of all, I think it's important to ground and center. And I don't know, is that something that you practice or know? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't practice it, though, or I haven't.
Okay. You can use whatever technique feels right to you. I think we all have our own instruction manual. It's just accessing it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways they talk about doing this is, you know, stand up and imagine that your feet are tree roots going deep into the ground, and all the negative is flowing out of you that way. And then lift up the arms like branches, and then absorb the sunlight and the positive and the good, and then come in into the center. You know, reach that ball of balanced energy. That's not the way I do it, but that's often a starting point for people.
Mm-hmm.
And just whatever feels like from that kind of a thing, what you're trying to do is feel connected to the earth.
Okay.
Grounded like you want to be grounded when something's hit by lightning so it doesn't blow up. It's just kind of the same sort of thing. And where you want to collect your energy in a balanced way in your center, in your core. And then from that, a shield, you send out a shield from that core. And I send from within me out, not imagining it already out, so that if something's close to me or inside of me, I push it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't trap it in. And that shield can look like whatever you want it to look like. And I would use my instinct on it. It can be clear. It can be one-way glass. I don't use mirrors. People do. But when you reflect things back, it's unclear what may happen, especially if you miss. That's up to the individual, but it's not something I promote. You could use brick walls. You can use walls of white-hot fire that anything up that wants to come through it. Anything like that, pretty much. And you can start out pushing it towards the direction where you feel the entity or what you want to block, but then encircle yourself too, because paranormal doesn't just come from one direction. It's a 360. It can come from underneath us, above us, as well as beside or behind or in front of us.
Okay.
And it just, you can practice it, and it just becomes fairly automatic with practice. And I'm happy to talk to you about this anytime.
Okay. Thank you.
And you can put those things up as a way to help. I have one person I've worked with that grew up in a very haunted house with a very scary room, and when she's gone back to visit her family, she's used some of these techniques now to help be able to sleep at night.
Oh, okay.
They do work. They're very helpful. They've made a huge difference with me. Hey, William, we actually have a caller on the line. I believe it is the GBK, the Ghost Box Kid. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Hey,
Will, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's nice to talk to you. I'm great.
His name is actually Phil, but we call him the Ghost Box Kid.
Oh, Phil, okay, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I haven't taken a phone call before, so this is cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I got a good one for you. I live in a 18th century plantation, and it was once a Civil War battlefield. And I was wondering if you got anything from the area where my house resides.
There's somebody coming up and looking for something lost. There are slaves in somewhat of panic, as well as some of the whites. I get a sense of fire.
True.
And Confederate soldiers that were being kind of reaching up and out. They're like on the ground, or I don't think they're coming up from the ground, but reaching out. And a lot of commotion and chaos.
I wouldn't doubt it. Like you were talking about somebody looking for something that's lost. Yeah. I kind of grabbed an object from a old church back in the early 1900s, and it's a marble. You wouldn't happen to be getting anything like that, like somebody looking for that marble, would you?
For it's a marble?
Right.
Like somebody lost their marbles?
Whatever was being looking for, like they were basically looking for something that was already lost, or that was looking for something that was lost that I took.
I'm not sure.
Like it's even with my property.
Was of value to them, and I'm not sure if it was just monetary value, excuse me, my brain and my tongue don't always connect, or if it is sentimental value. I'm getting a sense of a kid, and...
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I've had dreams and stuff of this one kid that keeps on popping up. Like, somewhere along the way, this kid came across in one of my investigations that I was on, and it kind of followed me around. And I kind of believe that this kid came from the Lizzie Bourne house, but, I mean, I have so much other stuff going on around property and stuff, it's hard to actually pinpoint what's going on because, I mean, this place has so much history. Like, it's really, really hard to tell what's going on, I just came to terms with the fact that my house might be haunted itself because, like, I've had things happen, like my fans have blown the light bulbs all at once, like all the light bulbs, like, shatter.
Right. And, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's done them once before. And,
that's devilry and witchcraft.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. That's where that comes from, I think. It's not devilry and witchcraft doing it. They're seeing those electric lights as devilry and witchcraft.
Yeah, I've seen, I've been across some stuff where I've seen bottled waters put in a circle and some chickens like some dead chickens with their head cut off and stuff like that.
That's a ritual.
Yeah,
that's a ritual. That kind of stuff I would stay away from because I just don't know enough about it. If you find that in an investigation, don't touch it.
Don't use your hands to touch it.
Yeah, it's unsanitary to begin with.
Well, but, no, it's not safe. It's not safe for you to do that.
Right.
To touch it.
Yeah, I've never touched him or anything like that, but I think, like, a lot of the stuff that is happening, like, right now in my, I've always denied it, but, like, recently, like, I mean, I've had, like, dreams and stuff like that, and, normally as a paranormal investigator, you don't want to investigate your own home, yeah?
No, you
don't want to investigate your own home. No, because it can stir up the activity. No, is the house you're in the original plantation house from the 1700s?
No, but the original plantation house is like 200 feet away.
Right. Okay. Now, is your house as old as that? Is it one of the old outbuildings from the plantation, or is it a new one built there?
It's a really, really old plantation. It's where some of the very first slaves were brought into the U.S.
Okay.
And the intercoastal waterway where the slaves were brought in kind of came in. I've lived in this house since I was in third grade.
Great.
And this house is 14 years old-ish, something like that.
14 years
and
old?
Yeah, whatever is going on is definitely the property.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I think most of what's going on there is fairly much residual. I don't think most of it's intelligent interaction. There's maybe a little bit of it, like with the lights blowing. Anywhere down there, I don't know exactly where you are, but I've been around in the South a lot, and I know what you mean. I've been on the Intercoastal Waterway and different things, and through some of the old plantations. And there were so many different kinds of spirituality practice there that leaves a mark, too. But,
oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it does. And, I mean, there's still old cannons from back in the Civil War that marks where some of our prominent presidents' relatives and stuff like that died. And I've actually seen the actual ghost, whatever his energy or don't even know what to call it because it's kind of weird with his spirit, but it's right. The energy of what's his name, Hugh Jackson, Andrew Jackson's brother.
Oh wow!
Yeah, now, right.
Do you hear cannons occasionally too? Because I get that sound.
I've actually captured cannon fire on EVPs before.
Okay, because I think that would be part of it. Those battles just never seem to end. And then some of what you're describing in the cemeteries with the birds and the different things sound to me, and I'm not an expert in this, but they sound to me like it's either voodoo or Santorini.
I think it's voodoo. It sounds voodoo. Okay. I'm getting voodoo from it, so.
Okay,
yeah.
And you're good.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, when you disturb it at all, you can really transfer negative stuff to you, even if it's, some of it's motive. If you don't understand it and you do mess up something kind of accidentally, it's kind of hit or miss, but the way I've had it explained, you just don't want to touch it. You don't want to interfere with it. You don't want to do anything with it. You don't want to mess around with it. You don't want to take a stick and move things because
any lack of respect
can come back to bite you,
My thing is, it seems like every time I've been on an investigation recently, I'd find out that there had been some type of voodoo ritualistic practice or some type of hoodoo or witchcraft or something like that. And I don't mean to get involved in it. It just happens. And
could do that.
It's been happening for the past two years on investigations. This one church, abandoned church that I went in, I've definitely stumbled across voodoo because there's definitely some stones and stuff like that were left there, like amethyst and stuff like that was left on the courts and stuff. It was left on the in the very center of the auditorium.
Well, stones are more protective, Phil.
Right.
Oh.
Those aren't, stones typically don't summon, they protect.
Right. I keep a pocket full of different stones and crystals and such with me all the time. That I wouldn't necessarily think is voodoo. May I ask, you don't have to give me the exact town or anything, and it's obvious with the plantations inland waterway, you're close to the coast in the south, but can you kind of give me a general idea where you are?
Yeah, definitely. I live in Charleston. As a matter of, actually, it's a town called Hollywood right outside of Charleston.
Okay. And, I was thinking Carolinas, so that's good.
Yeah,
you've got so much going on there. I would think that any plantation probably would have had voodoo at some point.
Definitely. I've captured on EVP like little females screaming for their little girls on a, or screaming for the girls and children on a EVP, and it's quite intense. I've actually investigated the battlefield. I've actually gotten scratches. Well, one scratch from investigating that place, and I've heard horses and soldiers stopping on the ground. That's what I believe to this day it was, but I mean, it could have been the marsh and the pluff mud sailing and stuff like that, but it sounded so much like horse hooves and soldiers running, actually.
Right.
It's pretty, if you were to come out here in my area, I'm telling you, the history and residual energy around here would be intense. And,
yeah.
I mean, I just recently started feeling this stuff, too. I mean, I've been investigating for a long time. It's just now, recently, it's starting to come up, and I'm starting to see things gravitate closer towards me, and, you know, like the fan lights blowing out, you know, stuff like that would happen. This just happened recently.
Wow.
Like within the last month.
That's interesting.
Well, the reason that the lights are being blown out is because they don't fix their, in the rotating fan. And so, I sometimes that stuff happens.
Right.
So,
you don't expect it to happen to you, you know? You don't expect it to happen in your own home. But
Have you had an investigation, Phil?
Oh, hell no. Nobody's investigating this place. I've had remote viewers actually seen, like, soldiers laying up, like, right beside the trees and stuff like that. And definitely remote viewers have seen, like, there's a hanging tree right outside one of the rooms on the far back side of my house. And it's the perfect size for it too, and I actually went out there and looked and took pictures of the branch that was used to hang the slaves and or whoever they were hanging, and the rope marks are actually still on the branch.
Okay. One of the things I would suggest is that when you go on investigations, make sure you tell the entities when you're done that they cannot come home with you, that you will visit them at their place, but that's their place, and they can't come to your place.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know all that good stuff. Like, I never really...
Mean to assume anything. It's just some people know and some people don't, so...
Yeah. I mean, one thing I do on purpose is I really don't use any protection. Like, I don't. And I think by doing that, I've kind of definitely kind of attuned my psychic abilities a lot more.
No, mm-hmm. that's no. I disagree. You can have protection and still use your psychic abilities.
Well, I mean, yeah, true, but I mean,
because I use lots of protection.
I mean, but yeah. something's happened to where stuff gravitates.
What you've done is you've let yourself see more. You don't have to not use protection to do this, but you've opened yourself up more. Is what it sounds like.
I mean,
that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, when I used to ghost hunt, or when I used to paranormal investigate, like for the longest time, I was so skeptical of it. And then, like in the past year or year and a half, 2 years, I finally came across like one of the very first like full bodied apparition. And ever since that experience, like it's definitely been progressing more and more and more, and I'm definitely starting to see things a lot more, and it's almost like now I could come up to a red light, turn the light green, and yeah, I've got videos where I've manipulated lights and stuff like that. It's now where I've opened up my mind so much that I've actually been able to tap into something. You know, it's almost being able to also like manipulate your own fate. You know,
I hate to interrupt here, you guys, but yeah. we're actually on our 7 o'clock break and. Wish we had more time because we could go on for quite a long time. Well, this is interesting. And Phil, thank you for calling in.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks for taking the call, girls.
Yeah, you betcha.
Oh yeah. Tell Rick, there's a big void in my life.
There's a big void in your life tonight. We're not filling it.
He'll be happy to hear that, Phil.
Sorry about that, GBK.
It's all right, girls.
Okay. Hey, all
nice
right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Phil.
Later.
We'll have to say we've got a few. Questions in the chat room. Fortunately, we're out of time right now, so we'll have to maybe get those next time okay. around. But
that's great. I'd love to come back anytime.
Oh, good.
You're always and welcome.
Thank you for
that.
Being so flexible.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, wait! Don't we have an hour next week?
We do actually.
We'll come back next week.
Sure.
Yeah. Next.
Okay, which hour is it, Cheryl?
Next week, we are needing a guest for the second hour of the show.
So 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. I'll put it down on my calendar. Call me this, on this line again because I'll be house sitting and dog sitting.
Okay.
So hopefully Chuck the dog won't be too loud. But
hey, we're used to that, right, Karen?
Yeah, that's okay. my dogs have actually been really good this time. So, William, paranormalinsights.com.
Net.
And net. There's no dash or anything. It's just paranormalinsights.net, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and Oregon, and what's the ghost tours? Is it OregonGhostTours.net.com?
NWGhostTours.com.
NWGhostTours.com. So, William, thank you very much. Hey, when we come back, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Kyung, and I don't have her last name in front of me, and I already attempted it and nailed the landing anyway. So, we'll be talking to Kyung Smith about her book in our next segment. So, stick around, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ZTalkRadio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
god!
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's and Cheryl, and we have our next guest with us, and she's got quite a story to tell us. So her name is Kung, and I'm just going to go with the Smith. I just feel like that's just being a little safer. And the name of Kung's book is called The Ghost Way. It's a true story of her family in southern Thailand during the mid-1970s. And she actually, her parents participated in the writing of the book, as did her husband, I guess. And they described the horrifying events that drove them all from their home, including encounters with evil entities. So, Kung, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be on the show.
So tell me, so this was back in the mid-1970s. You were a pretty young girl at the time, right?
Yes, yeah. I was about 3, almost 4 that time. And yeah, that time I still not really know anything, but I always remember we always woke up the middle of midnight every night and need to walk to past the jungles, go to my grandpa's house. Yeah.
So this happened at your house or at your grandfather's house?
My house. That house that my parents bought it. Yeah, not my grandparents' house. But when get haunted every night, we always, my parents, my mom always wake us up at the middle of the night and walk past from our house to grandpa's house.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what types of things were happening in the middle of the night that would have your mother so terrified that she would get you kids out of bed and take you to your grandparents' house?
We always have like visitor every night. The ghost has a half body. She always came like often, like almost every night. Come to like some nights she was so kind of smiled, but kind of ugly face and asking for my dad. And came to sit like close to my mom and just play around, like kind of haunted. But mm-hmm. I not really like notice about that. But my oldest sister, she got big enough to know what's going on, like when the night time and why we need to move to grandpa's house.
Okay. So I noticed on you have some sample chapters that I was sort of reading through little bits of the chapters on your website, and the website is theghostway.com.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like some really, really terrifying stuff.
That the chapter with like kind of the really horrible night that we put on the chapter. They came to, because a lot of horrible nights, but that one we put like kind of the half body ghost came crossed over to my my dad, kind to like want to have sex with my dad or something.
Yeah.
And then like another night she tried to kill my mom to like try to like sit over my mom or stuff and
like suffocate her.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she tried to control my dad, and she really, like, fell in love with my dad so much, this ghost. Yeah, and because from, I think from the land haunting that the house and kind, like, make, like, all ghosts, like, came together, yeah.
So that's what I was going to ask, is what type of entity or entities were these, and why do you think it happened?
Because when the first, at first, when my parents bought this house, nobody told them anything about the background of this house, what the land that cursed by the ex-owner's house. They have like some like kind of small creek like around like kind of behind the house like back or backyard. But that one we believe that one when you have if you buy a house, if they have like a small creek behind your backyard or around your house, it's not really good. But that time my parents just want to buy a house because we have like my family expand. We have like two sisters, and I and my mom was pregnant, my younger sister, and then we have like a bigger house and a house, because we never have a house before we stay like grandpa's house, but not really have a place to stay in wife when they sell the cheap and anything. Yeah, my parents can afford to buy that, and then why we buy that. But at the time, yeah, nobody tell them anything until we move in, and then after that, at the first couple months, we not really know anything until get like Kaya. The cold, during the time, get real too cold.
Mm-hmm.
And have like sound and have like kind of smell of like incense all the time or stuff like that.
So you'd have extreme coldness, strange phantom smells.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we always feel like somebody watching us all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think it, let's say, took the next step and appeared and even turned malicious? What do you think happened to start that process?
Sorry, say again, what's the question?
I was just wondering, how did it transition from, you know, feelings of coldness and smelling phantom smells to actually seeing the entities in front of you and to enduring the activity that happened, such as the choking incident and that kind of thing?
Because when we stay there, like more we stay long, more happening like all the time, the kind appear more like harder and kind of more horrible like when we stay longer. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like every day we get like new things like more like we one time like we bought like 100 ducks from our neighborhood, but our neighbor they raise ducks have like lay eggs almost like 100 a day.
Okay.
But when we took them to tourists at home, our ducks not really lay egg at all, because when the night time the guy got something scared, they make them like scary, and then they not really lay eggs at all. Yeah. If you see like the book we have like, what happened, like they make like ducks scary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah, I think maybe make my husband like give you more details.
So this is Lance. This is Lance Smith.
Yeah, hi.
And
he's in here with the phone. I'm trying to tell her don't, because it's going to feed back.
Oh yeah, we'll get the loop.
It seemed like it was a magnet for a lot of evil entities to kind of come together, and I think they had been there before.
Okay.
And then just some of the really violent nature around that land. There's a part where a woman who was from Burma was supporting the the Thai Red Army, the communists, and then she decided, well, she can make a lot of money off of turning them in to the government, who was going to kill them. And you know, the communists found out, and they chopped her head off, and they left it in the creek for everybody to see, you know, saying, you know, don't mess with me.
Wow.
And I think that other ghosts started showing up. Most of the ghosts had their histories in the village itself, in Oksala village. And the one that we call Sai, who is like half, you know, just a torso ghost from the bottom down. She's nothing, but you know, she has a torso, and that's because she was in love with Kung's dad, and that kind of carried over into the next life. Another
wow.
one was Kung didn't tell you about when they would go on the jungle through the jungle at night. Often there was a ghost blocking their way. And I was like, well, can't you just go around them? And then once I saw the jungle, no, you really can't. It's a really, you know, small trail and everything. And that was another woman from the village, but with entirely different motives, who was always holding her, like, kind of ghost baby. And
wow.
And so it seemed like three or four really main female ghosts, plus, like, somebody who was described as by her family as like the smoking demon, who was always like sitting on the front porch smoking cigarettes, which, you know, Thai men smoke cigarettes nonstop, so I guess even the ghosts do. And so, you know, it was kind of a lot of stuff, just a lot of negative energy from the village and the people that had gone through there and stuff. The woman with the baby was actually the son was a friend of Kung's dad, and he had died while they were climbing coconut trees.
Yeah,
you know, together to get the coconuts and everything. And so, you know, there's just a lot of kind of anything from the village that was bad kind of just ended up on that land, it seems like. And it's still really kind of weird, even, you know, walking around and looking at it. So I think the best thing she left out was that the geckos were just getting bigger and bigger each night.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What the heck? What's
yeah,
up with the geckos?
I know, it's crazy. And, and you know, by the end of it, they were like as big as dogs. And I mean, you know, I know you guys, I never had geckos when I lived in California, but, you know, I got them
in
Hawaii.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
The idea of a huge gecko is like so damn scary to
yeah.
me, you know.
Yeah,
but aren't geckos an auspicious sign? Aren't geckos a sign of good luck? At least in Hawaii, they are.
In Hawaii, but not Thailand, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. We're not supposed to kill them around here because they're good luck, but you know. But
so they don't typically grow to the size of iguanas in Thailand. Then that was unusual.
Yeah, they were really big, and I mean, we just. You know, Kung had kind of set me up with it. She would just, we'd be watching TV or something, and she said, oh, I used to have to get up in the middle of the night and, you know, and walk through the jungle. And I was like, why? She's like, oh, well, you know, she didn't really want to tell me. Well, kind of spirits were driving us out of our property and stuff like that. And so then, you know, she would say, oh, well, one time we went and there was a ghost blocking the way and we couldn't get around. And she remembers all this. And so she kind of hooked me in, and then she, over the course of months, kind of convinced her mom to tell the whole story because they hadn't thought about it and didn't want to think about it.
Sure.
My father wasn't going to be part of it at all until we started, and he got in an argument with his wife about, you know, the sequence of events or something, and then he committed to it as well, and we just sat down for a whole day, and they told us the story, and it was just amazing. I mean, I was like, I grew up Catholic, but after I saw The Exorcist, I decided I don't want to be Catholic anymore because I was too scared, you know. And I hated Catholic school anyway, and because everybody does. And so, you know, I wasn't really open to it. Like, I pretty much believed in nothing until I heard this story. And then just looking at them telling the story, I was just like, oh, my God. You know, it's just incredible. Like, the people that wandered on to that property and, you know, couldn't get back for weeks and days.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Know. Wow.
I need to tell her when people try to challenge, came to our house, try to stay there, but they thought we lied to every, and then people will let you, they not really believe, and they try to challenge like a couple times, and after that they got haunted and get crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our favorite one of the deniers was the guy we called Dom Pokin, who was the like the local communist leader.
Oh, yes.
But,
yeah.
She Kung always pointed out like the houses. Oh, yeah, that guy was a communist, and that guy was a communist. And I'm like, are we talking like Chairman Mao communist, or are we talking just like, you know, mafia? Because that's probably more mafia. And I said, okay, that well, makes a little more sense. And that guy came in, you know, with his AK and his knife, and he'd been shot by the King's army, and, you know, he had done whatever.
Wow.
And he was like, I'm not afraid of you, and, you know, and I'm gonna stay here, and if nothing happens, I'm going to call you a liar in front of the whole district. And, you know, and Kung's parents were like, yeah, go ahead, you know. And nothing happened, you know, nothing happened the few nights that he stayed there. But, you know, soon after, he was dead, you know. He was a very bad character anyway, so, I mean, I think it was karma. You know, he just, he was just stealing, you know, he was stealing everything from the farmers, you know, just because he had an AK.
Yeah, from the temple, too, yeah.
Yeah. So, a lot of interesting people. I mean, I think that I've always liked ghost stories myself, but I've never seen one that had so many characters in it, which made it completely different than, like, I love The Innocents, which is based on Turn of the Screw and you know, kind of the old kind of ghost movies and horror movies.
Yeah.
And this had just so many different people in it. You know, there's, like, the thief, you know, who's, like, steals stuff out of the temple, which is the lowest thing you can do there.
Right.
You know, the people will kill you if they catch you doing it, you know. So, and it was just, like, another thing for me was, like, you know, I mean, I was about 13 or 14 when this story was going on, and just, you know, I had uncles that were in Thailand during the Vietnam War and stuff like that, and just when Kung started telling me, you know, like, well, we have to walk through the jungle at night, and I was like, with flashlights? And she's like, flashlights? We didn't have flashlights. And I'm like, with lanterns? And she's like, we didn't have lanterns. All we had is candles, you know?
I mean,
it was like America would have been like in the 20s or 30s or something, you know?
Yeah, we didn't have lights.
Wow.
So it just seemed so otherworldly. And I asked Kung yesterday, like, how many words for, like, kind of paranormal is there in Thai? And she's just like, you know, infinite kind of number, because they have all different types of how they classify stuff. But I think what we in the West would call paranormal, they just think that's normal. You know,
that's just, so. It is what it is, huh?
Yeah. I mean, everybody believes in it, you know. My dad had gone was in Haiti one time, and he had gone to some kind of tourist voodoo show at the Hyatt or something like that. And he was like, ah, this is bull, you know, I want to see something real. And he went really far back in the Haitian mountains and saw a real voodoo ceremony, and he came out, like, changed. He was just like, well, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody else believes in it. The mountains believe in it. So it's a reality.
Right. So I'm curious, what became of this house and this property then?
It was later kind of torn down.
Yeah.
There's like the what starts the book is actually the end is the end of the book, and that's like after they sell their property. We had really good reviews. A couple of people said that they hated the Ramanakajas because they sold the house like the previous owners did without telling, you know, them that it was haunted. But it's not true at all. They told these people, but, you know, not everybody believes in it even there. They're just like, yeah, you just failed as a farmer, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't really care what you think. But they didn't do that. But it ends with, like, the last people that lived there. And you know, we just walked there, like, 2 weeks ago, and there's really nothing around it still. I mean, they're kind of been a little more houses that have kind of encroached on the property some, but not really. The main part of it is still completely intact, and
yeah,
I wouldn't walk through there at night.
Yeah, we did walk.
Yeah, and when we did walk, there was a huge black scorpion, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. So what did it finally take for the family to move? What was the ultimate straw?
Basically, Oi, who's the oldest daughter, was she's the most susceptible to, like, spirit activity and stuff, even to this day. And she was choked by another ghost, not Sai, or it was a half ghost, or not the not the one with the baby, but another one who was just like demonic. You know, this one was like a step up, kind of like from like the village ghost that was just had their own kind of, you know, issues.
There are many ghosts involved.
The last demon was just out to kill Koi. I mean, Oi. And the ghost's name was Koi.
Okay.
His name is Oi. And that was about it. And
that
then,
would,
like,
yeah.
Kung's granddad, maternal granddad, told her dad, like, you know, take a loss on the property. It doesn't matter where you go, but you just got to get out of there. And they did. And they, you know, they went through a lot. They had two different times when the Buddhist monks came over and, you know, thought they had driven away the evil. There's a fake exorcist in there who was just out to take money from everybody, and he gets shot at the end because people realized what he was doing. He was actually.
My God, it sounds like a novel.
It really is. It really is. I mean, when they were telling me the story, I'm like, 19 years in Hollywood, and I didn't hear one story that's even 10% as good as this.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was just like, I was in disbelief. And, you know, I was just looking into Kung's mom's eyes and her father's eyes, and I'm like, this is unreal.
You need to sell this script.
Yeah, and my mom's a devout Irish Catholic, and when she read it, she cried the whole way through it and everything and said how brave they were. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know, things like that. But a lot of people have responded to it. I'm surprised that so many women, like from, I don't know, like 55 to 75 and 80 have really, you know, liked it because it's violent and there's some pretty horrific imagery in there. And, but, you know, I think they're all relating to how hard it was for Kung's mom to keep all the family together because a lot of the nights, her dad was, you know, working in the mine. He was a farmer during the day and a miner at night. So,
oh my!
You know, there was a lot of stuff, and even after we finished talking to him, and came back to Maui, more and more stuff came up. You know, like her mom would think of something else.
Yeah.
This happened, and we're like, oh wow, that's pretty cool too. And it was just a really organic kind of, you know, kind of. Project, you know, it just kind of started with a couple of basic images, which I was like, you know, to tell you the truth, when I first got there, I said, it's not going to be a real whole story. And then I was like, you know, my God, this is like Gone with the Wind of South Thailand, you know, in terms of ghosts. It's just like such an epic. So it blew me away because I was like, God, I could have never written anything like this. And I was just happy to be part of it. But you know, it's really... It's Kung's project, you know, and it really is, and it's her parents' story, and Oi, we gave her a copy of the book, and we said, you know, you don't know how many people think you're amazing, you know, for what you went through as a kid, and she just kind of laughed, and she's very humble and everything, but...
Has any activity followed the family after moving?
They still follow Oi to this day.
Yeah.
She can't drive through the village without, like, kind of a ghost kind of attaching herself to him, to her.
Wow.
And when we were, had a house blessing, like 2 weeks ago almost, and Oi suddenly went into, I gotta explain what they believe in, if you have a miscarriage, that child still exists. And this was her child that was like, you know, when you put out food for your ancestors and clothes and everything, And right. She's done that ever since, you know, she was told that, yeah, this is your, you know, this is your son and you have to take care of him and get him clothes and food. And so, you know, he kind of was inside her wanting to be fed and stuff. And I wasn't around or anything for that, but, you know, I believe everything they say. They don't exaggerate. And,
sure.
And just like it's so commonplace, they don't even, like, really, you know, it's not, like, earth-shattering for them. They're just like, oh, that's the way things are.
And, yeah, right. Yeah. It's, so the thing is to somebody from our culture, it's earth-shattering because,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, interesting. Okay. Huh. And the reviews for the book, just looking at the reviews that you have on your site, are really great. And they really drive home how frickin' scary the book is.
Karen, yeah. Do you see that alternate perceptions one?
We had some really nice people reviewing us stuff. And I just think it was so different than what they were used to. They were like, oh, okay. I mean, we have a producing partner, Bob Joyce, and I've worked with him on and off for a really long time. And his whole thing was just like, you know, this is just an amazing story. And he was saying how, like, you know, all of the Japanese horror films are all based on technology now. And I said, well, there's no technology in this. It's just like AK-47, you know, and that's about the highest level of technology. So I kind of like doing something rural, too, you know.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. And it's just people of the land, you know. I mean, and I don't think it's that much different than what people would believe in, like, you know, Appalachia and, you know, in different places around America either.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I'm reading the review, so I really like this one from Alternate Perceptions that says,
oh, I love I wouldn't that guy. Recommend,
yeah, I wouldn't recommend late night reading of this book. You know, there has only been one book ever that I've read, and I have a hunch I'm going to have to read this one now, that scared me. And it was turned out to be a hoax because it was the Amityville Horror. I read it when I was a teenager, and I read it at night, home alone with my parents, not home, and scared the crap out of me. And since that book, nothing has scared me. So I'm wondering if this one will.
I don't know. There is another review from a guy, I think a British guy. His last name is Reed. We got a review in the Chiang Mai Mail from Northern Thailand. And he said, and he's obviously an expat living there and does reviews and stuff. And he said, if your wife is Thai, like mine is, never let her read this book because she will not get a good night's sleep for months.
And, yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, that's a great one. We love that one a lot. So, we've had some really nice people, you know, that were very generous, I thought, but, you know, we really believe in the story, and you know, Bob told me before I went over there to get the story, like, in 2009, he's like, make sure you get the whole story, you know, and I was like, okay, you know, and he kept pushing me, like, you know, don't forget, I want you to write everything down, and so we were pretty thorough with it and everything, but, you know, thanks to Kung's mom and dad for reliving that. I mean, they basically sat there and told us the whole first half of the story and then just got up and walked out and went to the farm and just, like, did all their farm work for a while and then came back, like, a few hours later. But I know it was, like, tough for them to go through that, and even tougher that they were arguing points with each other, which was pretty funny. So,
well, that's what marriage does to you. You know, after a while, you argue.
Yeah. You know, they're always, oh, no, you got it backwards. This came first when that happens. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I said that what they're arguing about is a lot creepier. So the book is for sale on your website, which is The Ghost Way. Are there other places people can buy it as well?
Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, we published on CreateSpace because it's...
No, I love CreateSpace.
Yeah, they let you do whatever you want, which is like, you know, I don't really want to go through the whole corporate thing. I did that enough in Hollywood, and it seems like a kind of a dead end all the way around. So we just wanted to get it out there and see what people thought about it. And Thai people really won't read it. Our friends are just like, oh, no, I don't read stories about ghosts. There's no damn way I'm going to read this, you know. But, friends of ours who've read it have been like, oh my God, you know, and even friends of my mom's, and, you know, pretty broad appeal, you know. I was pretty
very
surprised
good.
Because I just, I thought some people were just going to be a little, like, you know, too much with the graphic violence and everything that they described to us. So, we're happy with it. We're hoping to get a movie made. That's what we're really working towards.
That's what
now.
I was going to say. It sounds like a great movie script. And, you know, Hollywood hasn't done anything, and other people may disagree with me, but Hollywood hasn't done anything good and scary, in my opinion, in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I like the older stuff better than I like everything coming out now, because it just gets so overblown, you know. Like, I like vampire movies and stuff, and, like, with Van Helsing, like, yeah, vampires, werewolves, and then Underworld, the werewolves are shooting the vampires, and, you know, I'm like, what the hell is this, you know?
And the vampires sparkle. They sparkle now. They sparkle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, this isn't, like, real horror or anything.
No, it's not. I absolutely agree. So, hey, the other thing I just noticed is it is available on Kindle, and it is now downloaded to my Kindle. So there you go.
Oh, cool. If not, we could send you a copy, too. No problem.
No way. I read absolutely everything on ebook now. So when somebody doesn't have one, it's because I'm in my 40s and my eyesight's getting bad and I don't like wearing my reading glasses. So, like, on the Kindle or the iPad, I can blow up the print really big.
I'll have to check that out, because I'm almost 52 and my eyesight started going when I was 40.
Oh, see, it's the second you turn 40, everything changes. So what you need to do is you need to get the
e-books. No, it's not true. My eyesight is so good, and it is. Still with long vision, but like with reading,
No, the up close stuff doesn't work, does it?
No, it really doesn't, not at all.
Okay, so it's The Ghost Way. It's available on Amazon.com. It's available through your website, which is theghostway.com. And then you guys are on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we got to update our page. We haven't done that in a long time because Bob put a gun to our heads and said we had to be on Facebook. We didn't really want to do it. But
we are low tech.
You have to be on Facebook. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, we get a little bit of traffic, but
and you should Twitter too.
Oh yeah, I could never do that. We don't even have a cell phone. we're kind of out in the jungle here in Maui. So
my little sister lives on Kauai. I think you guys live in paradise, I will tell you that much, boy.
Yeah, Kauai is really nice. I mean, Maui's gotten really big just in the 10 years I've been here. It was, it went up to about 60,000 people or so. And, you know, I don't know why, because it's really, you know, it's just like kind of getting really little overcrowded. But people just move here without knowing, like, what anything's like. And not knowing it's the lowest medium income in the country, you know. I mean,
right.
Five notches below Mississippi, you know. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
really expensive to live.
I was like, wow. They need to get gambling here, I think, because they tax the hell out of everybody, and you know, it's an Asian state, so I mean, you have the Japanese, the Koreans, and the Chinese. I think gambling would go over really big here. Oh, by the way, when we were just in Thailand, it was Songkran, the Buddhist New Year celebration, which is usually done with a water fight. And the water fight can be either good or bad, depending on how much they, you know, don't like Farangs, you know, Westerners. The best thing was the all ages gambling that they had on Songkran, right across from Kung's house. I'm like, wait. You got 10-year-old kids gambling, and yes, it's only one or two days a year, and I'm like, but they're kids, they're 10 years old, and they're like, hey, what's the deal? You know, it's no big deal, and I'm like,
my nephew
over there losing money, you know,
because it's just one day a year, yeah, they let like kids play too, but just one day.
One day a year, that's hilarious. So do they also let them that one day a year, you know, like smoke cigarettes, shoot guns, and drink whiskey?
Yeah, I was just like, okay, you know, and And I mean, I see my nephew over there, and he looks like he's like this degenerate gambler in Vegas at 4 in the morning, you know? He's like doing all these secret signs, trying to get the dice to go his way. And
oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I think I'd like to see
all ages gambling, all right, you know?
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so you guys, thank you so much for coming on. Your story sounds fascinating.
Thank you
I cannot
so
wait to read it.
It's going to be a movie, I think.
I think it needs to be a movie. Yeah. That's right. So if it becomes a movie, you let us know.
Yeah. If it's a movie, you got to come on the set.
There you
cool.
go. That sounds awesome. So I'm looking forward to reading
it.
We're
not going to shoot it in Thailand. It's too damn hot there. When we were there, it was the hottest place on the planet every day for 3 weeks.
How hot?
We were in South Thailand.
How hot?
The bar bombs were still going off. That was like the Bangkok temperature. So it was really, really hot.
How hot is really hot?
100.
How much?
Because in April, it's hottest time of Thailand in April, yeah. And why we have some kind of water fighting.
Well, okay. Thanks for the warning. I'll keep that in mind. When's Thailand's cold season?
They don't have one.
We have, but not part of the south. Further Bangkok and further north, they start like cold winter around like late October until late February.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so like
winter.
Here. Okay.
She's just
all
talking
right.
about the mountains.
Oh, I was going to say, well, it sounds like Washington State. We're October until February. We have winter.
Right. But this is like, her village is, you know, only about an hour away from Malaysia, so they're probably 6 or 7 degrees off the equator. So it's hotter than Phuket and, you know, and the other places that you think of in Thailand. It's really
good to know. Like,
yeah,
good to know. Okay, so thank you guys so much for coming on. It is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
And so it is called The Ghost Way. You can find it at theghostway.com. And frankly, I'm a little scared to read it, but it's going to happen.
Okay, good. We're happy. We're really happy.
Okay, thank
email
you guys.
Email us back when you read it.
I'll get back to you. I'll let you know if I lost sleep or not. How's that?
Okay, great.
Hey, and if you scare me, that's it. You're my new hero, because I haven't been scared in ages, and I love to be scared.
How about The Shining?
What's The Shining?
Yeah.
A
little bit?
The book scared me, but the movie, not so much.
I saw a clip on, like, Turner Classic or something, and Stephen King was talking about horror, and he was saying how he only talked to Stanley Kubrick for about a half hour on the phone and was not involved in making the movie in any way. And Stanley said, well, it's really great because, you know, when you see ghosts and everything, you know that there's another side. And Stephen King said, yeah, but if there's lightness, there's also darkness. And if there's good, there's also evil. And Stanley just didn't reply at all and then just said, goodbye. That was a great story. Like, oh, I want to just think about the good part, you know?
There you go. Okay, guys, thank you so much, and I'll let you know what
you
I think
so
of the book.
Much.
Yep.
Okay. Thank
Have
you
a nice lot. Night. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Cheryl, are you going to read that?
I am going to read it. I'm going to buy a book, and I'm going to read it, because I read the two sample chapters online. And it did pique my interest. It sounds absolutely just scary as heck to me. So
seriously, if something can scare me,
yeah.
And I don't know. As I've done more of the paranormal stuff, mm-hmm. It's been less and less and less. And I have things startle me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not
different.
The same thing.
Yeah.
When I think back to when I read like the Amityville Horror,
mm-hmm.
and it was that good. I don't like scared like, you know, somebody's running after you with a gun scared.
Okay.
But what I like is that psychological
scare.
Life on the other side.
Yeah.
And I actually think that Lance may have nailed it. And, mm-hmm. and part of what it is for me is that I think that if there are ghosts, that means we go on after we die. So I see that as a good thing.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when he talked about you guys are talking about scary movies, The Shining, that came out when I was a little kid. I mean, those trailers that came on, the commercials that came on the TV, oh my God, for The Shining, it terrified me. I had, every time it came on, that music and Jack carrying that axe down the main, I had to close my eyes and cover my ears because I was terrified.
See, now the book did scare me, but the other thing is Stephen mm-hmm. King books haven't scared me in years either.
Oh, okay.
The Shining I found scary, and there was another one of his that kind of scared me too.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them, not so much. So yeah. I really miss that psychological scared feeling that, mm-hmm. you know, something's out there, we don't know what it is.
Right, those scared movies feeling. That make you think, you know, for weeks afterwards, like, you know, could this be possible? That those are the movies that get me, you know.
Yeah, those don't scare me. The ones that mm-hmm. could that be possible? That those just make me think. Like I was really disappointed because there were a couple of movies that came out. I think maybe last year or 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the one of them had Mila Jovovich in it, and it was the Nome, Alaska one.
Oh, you didn't like it. You didn't like that one. I remember. Okay.
No, I was so disappointed.
Okay.
What was the name of the movie? Do you remember?
God, now I had it in my... I lost it. The Fifth... No.
The Fifth Kind.
Is that... Okay. The Fourth Kind or The Fifth Kind?
Something like that.
Yeah. It was. I actually liked that movie a lot. I can see what you... You know, when we talked about it, I could see what you were saying about it. But I actually liked that movie.
Yeah. I was so disappointed because I was so ready. I mean, I was ready to go in and mm-hmm. just have the crap scared out of me. And it didn't. And then the same thing with Paranormal Activity. I heard so much stuff about how scary Paranormal Activity was.
It wasn't scary at all, actually, for me. It was it was interesting, but not scary.
I know. So I miss scary.
Yeah.
I used to love scary. When I was a little mm-hmm. kid, I would read like really scary books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then peek out from under my covers because I just love to scare the crap out of myself that way. And some of the old horror movies, too. I think I mentioned one of my favorite old horror movies is the Vincent Price version of The Pit and the Pendulum. The ones that they would have on Friday nights, like after midnight, you know, mm-hmm. back when we only had 3 TV channels.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. Yes, they would play on Friday nights, they would play old horror movies.
Ooh.
On our local television show. So we would have sleepovers with our girlfriends and we would stay up really late and we could never do it at my house because my parents wouldn't let us watch TV after midnight.
Okay.
So we'd go to somebody else's house and we'd stay up late watching these old horror movies. Oh my God.
You know what I would do occasionally? I would go in a dark room, turn on the TV and watch The Exorcist.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah. See, and The Exorcist scared me the first time I saw it when it came out, like in the 70s, right?
Oh, yeah. Does it scare you now? It still scares me.
We watched it in college with some friends of mine, and it was so funny. Her name was Kristen, and, you know, she would talk in this voice. And so. In the movie.
Yeah.
So I'd walk up behind my friend Kristen after we watched that movie because it scared the poop out of her. And I'd go, Kristen! Oh my God.
You're mean. And she'd scream and jump.
I was not nice in college. You wouldn't have liked me. Hey, we're going to end a little bit early tonight just because, frankly, I need to use the restroom.
All right, then.
I was going to come up with some good lie, but the truth is I had a big glass of water right before we started, and I've had to pee for like an hour.
Well, that's as good a reason as any, Karen.
I think that that's the best reason of all, but...
Well, here's the thing. Yeah.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say thank you so much to William, who actually joined us at the last minute. So I want to thank him, and also thank him for doing... I don't know if you call it a reading, but a reading of my situation, and I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to talking to him again next week during the second hour of the show.
Yeah, so and our guest in the first hour is?
Our guest in the first hour is the author of Altered Journey, Roberta DiCaprio. Oh, I didn't say that right. DiCaprio? Wait, you say it.
Isn't it DiCaprio?
It's like DiCaprio. DiCaprio.
Oh, not like Leonardo.
It's not Leonardo. So that's next week. Join us then. Also, I wanted to say we're ending a little... My goodness. We're ending a little early, blah, blah, blah. And stick around or come back in 10 minutes at 8 Pacific for Fox City's Paranormal Radio here on ZTalk Radio.
Okay. And so next week, come back 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. And thank you, as always, to our guests. And thanks for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.
Just can't wait. Yeah. Spread my wings, time to fly. One step out, all it takes for me to touch the sky. So amazing, it's so liberating. 12,000 feet, AGL, so breathtaking. Belly down, box me now. 4 minutes of pleasure without any spark of distraction around. State of mind, euphoria, wish it could last forever. From this day on, nothing can stop us from getting back together. Thanks for sharing.